Susan Boyle's story is not new. This is back from 2009. She's made now upwards of $35 million singing. But what was it about that initial image? Unemployed, 47-year-old women who maybe aren't what we would characterize as a vision of beauty, can't possibly be very good. And the eye rolls and the mocking and even the statements of just making fun changed immediately. The reason this was so dramatic is because of the judgment that came before she sang. If she walked out beautiful, classy, with the whole look and the whole image, and then sang beautiful, it wouldn't have made as great an impact. The shock is what made the impact. Today I want to talk to you about being judgmental, or rather, not being judgmental. And how we can live our lives in a way that we can honor God and that we can be truly distinct people. Right now in our world, we're living in a very judgmental place, aren't we? People hurting other people because they've judged them to be from some other group. And in many cases, it's very clear by their voices that they are in a contrary group. But we live in an extremely, extremely judgmental place. And when those judgments rise to a certain level, those judgments turn violent. Those judgments, thank you, turn to a degree where people are committing horrible acts, whether it's Charlottesville or Barcelona. And that's just this week. And aren't we at a place now in our world where that happened last week and we reel with the pain and the frustration and the horror of that? But in our minds, I'm already thinking, well, what's going to happen next week? Because that seems to be the pattern. When the next judgment will take place from somebody taking God's only rightful place into their own hands. And as soon as we want to judge those who have done something horrible, maybe we can ratchet it down and think, well, have we treated someone like they treated Susan Boyle? Have we made value judgments on people? Now, that may not be something that injures them. Maybe it's just in your own mind. Maybe it's just in your own heart. But we're judgers. We see the world differently, don't we? And no matter how different we see it or how we think it should be one way, there's always somebody else who sees it a little different. Maybe you've seen this before, but just on a quick glance, whoops. What do you see there? Do you see the image? Or how many see the image of an old woman? Raise your hand. How many see the image of an old woman there? Okay, a few people. How many see an image of a beautiful young woman? Okay, many more. All right. For those that see the image of the old woman, do you see the beautiful woman at all? Okay, some do, some don't. Okay, it's not a uncommon photograph, so maybe it's your preconceived notion is already catching it. But if you're not quite seeing it, if you see the young woman, the choker is the old woman's mouth, the chin and the nose has got kind of a little bit of a wart on it. And her eye is where the young woman's ear is, looking more forward. The young woman is looking away. The wart is the nose. The eye is the ear, the mouth. You see it now? Okay. See, we look at things differently, don't we? Some look and immediately see one thing. Some look and immediately see something else. And there can even be arguments between, no, it's an old woman. And the other one, no, it's a young woman. And then fights ensue, and it could escalate, and it could get crazy. When all along, well, it was actually both. And you were both right. Now, in this world, it's not often that both parties are right. Sometimes both parties are wrong. Sometimes there are more than two parties. Sometimes there's more pictures than just the two. What I'm trying to get across is that we see the world different. And we can often look at the same picture and not see the same image. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that these next few moments you would help us, that you would touch our hearts, that you would change us, so that we would be a people different from the world. You have called us strangers, tourists, just passing through this world, because we are of a different kind. We are of the kingdom of God. And you are ever looking to expand that kingdom through us to those who now live. Lord, help us in Jesus' name to understand your word, that we might live differently in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what does it mean to judge? What does it mean to judge? A judge is one qualified to make a critical evaluation. Well, in our courts, there are judges, and I couldn't be a judge because I don't know the law. I don't know the ins and outs and all the little intricacies and the special things of the law. I don't qualify to be a judge. But there are those that are qualified to make critical evaluations. When we say when the judge judges or judging, it's to decide authoritatively, to conclude or to decide. When the judge makes a judgment, he's judging, and he has the authority to decide or to conclude, and he has the authority there. Now, when Jesus is speaking about judging and being judgmental in Matthew chapter 7, it at first appears that he's saying that we can never make any kind of a judgment. And if you look closely at the passage, he's not saying don't judge. He's saying don't hypocritically have a judgment. Look at it closely. He says, wait a minute. How can you judge someone when you've got a log in your eye or a plank in your own eye? First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you can see clearly. With the measure you use to judge someone else, that measure will be used against you. If we hypocritically, prejudicially judge someone, we're inviting that same judgment upon ourselves. All over the scripture, God has told us that we have to make judgments. We make judgments all the time. I'm making a judgment just looking at it. It's a judgment to say, William's wearing a white shirt. That's a judgment. I'm making a decision, an authoritative conclusion about that. Now, you can all agree with that because you can see William. Sometimes it gets a little more sticky. We make judgments all the time. We've been told, though, not to be judgmental. Jesus is not saying there should never be a judgment of any kind at any time for any reason, as some would suppose. Jesus is saying you cannot set yourself up as a judge, declaring yourself qualified to make a conclusion about someone by your own standards. And that's crucial. That's what they did to Susan Boyle. We have a standard about what a singing superstar looks like, and you're not it. We've made a conclusion. We've made a decision by our own standards. And isn't that the way we've seen in our world this week and in other weeks? We've decided by our standards, you're wrong. By our standards, you're off base. By our standards, you have to be dealt with. By our standards, you have to be silenced. Well, who made you God? Who made that group God? I understand why the world does it. What gets inside of me and makes me a bit fearful and a little bit crazy is when Christians do that. Christians should know better. We should know that we are not God, that He alone is our God. We are commanded to judge. We're commanded not to be judgmental. Where are we at here? We're missing a projector, and I keep looking that way. That's my natural mode. Look at what Scripture says in Matthew and John. We'll get there. There we go. John 7. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Isn't that interesting? we put the whole passage of Scripture together, we find that God is not telling us not to judge. He's saying make a right judgment. Don't be a hypocritical judge. Stop judging by mere appearances. Stop judging people by how they look, by their hairstyle, by their dress style, by their nationality, by their ethnicity. Stop judging by those things. Make a right judgment. Elsewhere, Scripture says, do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? I don't know how that's all going to appear when we get to eternity someday and this judging of angels thing. That's a mystery to me. But what I understand is the comparison. If we're going to be held responsible in some great capacity in eternity, can we not just get it right here? Can we at least understand how to judge and not to judge here in this world? There's a difference between being judgmental and judging. The question to ask when we're in a place to judge rightly is this: is it true? Is it true? Well, look at that guy over there. He looks like one of those. Well, is it true? Do you know that person? Do you know their background? Do you know why they're the way they are? Well, look at that girl. Look at the way she dresses. Look at the way she acts. Look. Well, do you know her? Can you make that statement without any knowledge? Is it true? And how many know what the only true source of truth is? It's God's word, right? Can we depend on any other statement or any other bylaw or any other constitution? We can depend on one thing and one thing alone, and that's God's word. So when Christians make judgments, they make them based not on other ideas or theories it's on God's word alone. When we make a judgment on God's word, then we have a right judgment. And Jesus said, it's clear. You can see the fruit according to God's word. So when someone says, well, you ought not to judge, is that true? Should we not ever judge? We have to. We're going to judge, make a right judgment, Jesus said. And the only right judgment is a judgment based on God's word. And here's what I know. God's word does not judge based on skin color, does not base judgment on culture, does not base judgment on dress, does not base judgment on any kind of outward appearance. God looks on the heart of the man, not on the appearance of the man. Make a right judgment. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: by judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. Isn't that amazing? We'll talk about this in a minute, but that first part. When we judge others, we blind ourselves to our own evil. That's what Jesus was saying. Take the plank out of your eye first. You're trying to correct somebody else and you completely overlooked your own evil in your own life. Let's look at four problems with being judgmental. Four problems with being judgmental. Number one, one can never know all the facts about a person or a situation. How do you know? You don't know the facts. You don't know what's behind the person. You don't know where they've been. You don't know how they've grown up. You don't know where they're from. You can never know all the facts about a person. So that's a problem with being judgmental about someone. In high school, I've lost it long ago, but I had a class ring. I don't know if they do class rings anymore, but mine was a stone, and it was a purple stone from my birth month, and it was a really boring stone. It kind of looked muddy. It wasn't a beautiful purple. But every once in a while, when the sun would hit it just right, that thing would sparkle like a diamond. But the sun had to hit the stone just right for the true colors to come out. How many of us look at people and we see kind of just a muddy appearance or just a way they carry themselves, and we make an impression, but then every now and then the sun hits them just right and their true colors come out, and it's beautiful. I just heard recently, I didn't know this story about my son. My son Eric, some of you know him, some of you don't know him. He's 6'3", red hair, and he wears a big red beard. And he likes to wear kind of a skull cap beanie. And he was in school at a place in San Francisco. And as he's walking from his car to the school, somebody leaned out a window and said, "Why don't you go back to your own country where you came from?" Only time he's been out of the country is when I took him on a missions trip. He's born and bred, Bay Area. But there was that appearance of a big beard and kind of a skull cap. And you know where I'm headed, right? That there seems to be, well, who wears big bushy beards? Well, we see the images of maybe an Islamic person or a Middle Eastern person. Well, I guess now the style is kind of changing, but at least that's the impression that we think that person had. He didn't know Eric. He doesn't know he's a pastor's kid, loves the Lord with all of his heart, would do anything for you. And here's somebody making a judgmental comment. You don't always know a person. So that's a problem with being judgmental. Number two, it's impossible for anyone to absolutely be impartial about his judgments. Is there anyone that can say without a doubt, you can be 100% impartial at all times, at all places? Okay, good. I'm glad nobody raised their hand. Because then we'd have to talk about the commandment of lying. We can't do that. Let me illustrate for you. I'm going to show you three images. Some of you might know these people, so don't shout it out and give it away, okay? Some of you may not. Three images. Number one. Number two. And number three. Number two. And number three. Or number back to number one. Now, have you formed a value judgment already on who these people are? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, might feel maybe uncomfortable if this guy was a guest at your dinner table? How many might feel uncomfortable if this guy came to your door and wanted to date your daughter? How many would feel comfortable having lunch with this lady? Okay, let's look back. This guy's name is Lecrae. He's one of the top gospel Christian rap artists that we have in our nation today, followed by young people all over, a 100% amazing, godly young man. But some had already formed judgments because he looks like a hip-hop thug and he can't possibly be trusted. This guy is one of the band members of Hillsong United out of Australia, one of the most powerful young persons worship bands on the planet right now. Loves God with all of his heart. And some of you wouldn't want him to date your daughter. Well, shame on you. How many felt real comfortable with this lady? And you know what's coming, don't you? Her name is Doris Payne, international jewel thief. I wouldn't have lunch with her. I might lose my watch. She might have my ring too. It might be gone. It is told that on occasion, back in the days of the Greeks, that they would have trials with the lights off so that they wouldn't be swayed by images and they could make a right judgment. You don't always know, and it's very difficult to be impartial, isn't it? Number three, problem with being judgmental is that it places value on a person that God has not placed on them. Who are we to think that we can place a value on someone that God has not placed? Romans is very, very clear when it says, I show no favorites. That's God's word, not my word. We prayed this morning for the people that were, the families of the people that were harmed in Barcelona. But you know what? God loves the people that drove the vehicle into the crowd as much as he does the ones that lost their lives. And that's hard for us. Because we get angry at those people. We want justice and we want them to get theirs. And we can't believe that happened. And, or if you're in Charlottesville and you have those groups of people just hating each other and screaming and all the horror that's involved in that. And God loves every one of those people regardless of which side they're standing on. That's hard for us to get a hold of. We put values on people that our Lord Jesus did not put a value on. Jesus died on the cross, setting the value of everyone the same. He didn't pay a greater price for somebody and a lesser price for somebody else. The value of something is what someone else is willing to pay. And Jesus Christ set our value the same by shedding the same blood for every human being. And number four, a problem with being judgmental is that judgmental people hypocritically overlook the shortcomings in their own lives. The seriousness of this is that a person who judges takes the place of God and therefore becomes answerable to God. I'll tell you what, I know I'm going to be judged someday. The Bible says we're going to answer to God for our behavior. But man, I just want His grace and His mercy. And if I want His grace and His mercy, then Jesus said, with the measure you use, so it will be measured to you. That I better be a person who is really, really generous with grace and mercy. Judgmentalism. It's painful. It hurts. How do we avoid being judgmental? Let me give you some steps. Number one, this is Jesus' words. Look at yourself first. Remove the plank in your own eye. Now, the problem with planks in your own eye is that you don't always know that you have one in your own eye. That's really the problem. That people with planks sticking out of their eye would really honestly, I don't have a plank in my eye. I'm seeing perfectly clearly. You're the problem. Get the plank out of your eye. And that's our problem, right? That's where God's word comes in. And if we honestly, truthfully, with just sincerity, look at God's word and let God's word judge us, the planks become very, very clear. There's a lot of scriptures we want to leapfrog over because we don't want to admit that there's a plank in our eye. First, look at yourself. Remove the plank in your own eye. Isn't it ridiculous? And Jesus is actually using this to be funny. Many of us are walking around with a plank in our eye. And we're looking at each other and we say, oh, you're one of those. Oh, I can tell you are one of those already. Really? I think you've got a little bit of sawdust in your eye. Can I look, Lynette, and see if I can figure out how to get that out of your... Ridiculous, right? But how many of us walk around life with this plank or this stick sticking out of our eye and God says, are you kidding me? You're trying to correct somebody else and you've got a log sticking out of your eye? You're calling other people bigots and prejudice when you've already formed value judgments on so many other people? You have value judgments on other people's culture, the way they live, the way they practice their life, and then you have the gall to say that you can correct someone else. First, get the plank out of your eye. Then you can see clearly. And folks, in the church, we're supposed to be distinct. And to tell you the truth, I'm trying to ask God, how are we to be distinct in a world gone nuts? How can we create this kingdom that rises above? This kingdom that isn't about red or blue states, or it's even bigger than that on a global scale. That it isn't about some kind of tradition or just whatever it is, whatever dogma. God, you've called us to be unique. You've called us to be, the Bible in 2 Peter, 1 Peter, peculiar. Peculiar doesn't mean weirdos. It means different. There needs to be a group of people that stands out from everybody else because they don't buy in to the judgmental jargon. They don't immediately take sides on social media and begin to espouse all this stuff just for a desire to be right. We're called to be different. How many times in the Gospels do you see Jesus railing against Rome? I don't count one time. Not one time. And if you go back in your history, guys, the Pharisees weren't the big problem to the Jews. Rome was the big problem to the Jews. They were the oppressors. They were the brutal ones. They were the ones who had the power. They were the ones crucifying people. Not just Jesus. They crucified him by the hundreds and thousands. Not once did Jesus... You know what Jesus railed against? Hypocritical religion. Because he was trying to purify his church. If we're going to be people of God, we can't be like everyone else. Does that mean we don't take a stand on things? No, we have to stand on truth, not on opinion. And standing on that truth doesn't mean bashing people, crushing people, and setting up lines to just be like everyone else. Jesus never did it. Ephesians says it a little differently when it says, We fight not against flesh and blood. That person with a different view from us is not our enemy. But there is a spiritual deception behind that that is our enemy. There's a demonic lie behind the things that are counter to God's word that is our enemy. The weapons that we fight with are not carnal or worldly weapons, but we fight in the spirit. We have to lay hold of that as we fast and pray, and as we love with generosity, and as we care with just a lavishness, and as we pour out ourselves to embrace people. Look at first, remove the plank out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly. When you remove the plank and begin to allow God's word to really scrutinize you, when I let it scrutinize me, I'll be able to see clearly then. Take the stuff out. Then your eyes will be strangely open. Number three, then love the other person to remove the speck from a brother's eye. You'll be able then to go minister to them, to minister to others. And you know what I found? People are really receptive when they've understood from whom the confrontation, or in this case, a judgment, when it comes. Jesus is saying, take the plank out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to correct a brother, to correct someone. People are generally responsive when they know that there's love behind it, when they know that there's true care. The old phrase is, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's a cliche that's kind of been around, but it's true. They don't care what you say unless, they care about me. I'll listen then. And it makes sense. But even then, there are some who won't receive. Jesus is at the very end, kind of a difficult part to understand. There's a time for love and a time for time for mercy and a time for tough love. Jesus said there are still those that when you're bringing a judgment, there are those that he calls dogs and pigs. Isn't it interesting that in a statement of not being judgmental, that Jesus calls some people dogs and some people pigs? Kind of ironic, isn't it? He's making a true judgment. Now he's building a metaphor. Dogs were scavengers. Dogs were those that would turn on you. Pigs the same way, wallow in the filth and then turn for their own appetites, for their own wants. He wasn't incorrectly judging. He was saying there are people that are like that. That when you offer something good to them, they'll turn and tear you to pieces. And in this case, the good that's offered is a correction. Some people, we can't correct. You just walk away. There's a lot of those people in our world today, aren't there? If you tried to bring any kind of logical or biblical or loving correction, you might be fearful for your life. Jesus said there are people like that. Some scriptures. So do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you, but rebuke a wise man and he will love you. There are some that you don't rebuke, you don't correct. They're going to hate you if you do. So you just leave those people alone. Another scripture says this, warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that the person is warped and sinful and he's self-condemned. There are some you just walk away from. So this whole passage is not talking about not judging, it's how to judge correctly, but definitely how to not be judgmental. So in a nutshell, when we're living our life, the Word of God has given us clear standards. By those standards and those standards alone can we correct and rebuke and judge. Make a right judgment, Jesus said in John. And you know where judgment is supposed to begin, church? In the house of God. But we're supposed to be able to lovingly, with wisdom and with grace, work with each other so that we can have iron sharpening iron. But we can't do it hypocritically. We have to get the plank out of our own eye first before we can even start that. And there are some that we just leave alone. Because you can't offer your pearls before swine. We need to be a people who are not judgmental. But you know what? There is a day when the measure that we have used to judge others will be measured against us. There is a judge. And I know a lot of folks, especially in today's day, the anger that starts to burn inside. One of the men killed in Barcelona was on his honeymoon from Lafayette, California. He and his wife saved up for a year to go on their dream honeymoon, and when they got there, he got killed. And inside of me at least, I get so angry. And that sinful judgmentalism starts to boil inside. And I want to say, those people deserve what they get. They need to be punished. They need to be dealt with. And immediately I hear God's voice saying, is that what you want me to do to you? Is your sin any less than that sin? Well, God, I've never killed anybody. But we already talked about in Love Does Lifestyle at the beginning of the month that my anger towards someone is equivalent to murder. It's the seed. I'm no different. Church, there's going to be a judge who will judge righteously. And here's what I know. I want His grace. And I want His mercy. So if that's the case, then I better be a person of grace and mercy. Not the person who denies truth. There's a time to stand. And Jesus stood. Read Matthew 23 sometimes and see how harshly He spoke to the hypocrites in Matthew 23. Jesus was no pushover. Jesus was not Barney. It wasn't always just a happy day. There were battles to fight, but He always fought them in grace and truth. And if we are God's people, we need to be God's people of grace and truth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us. We need You. As I watch the tapes of the violent, demonically inspired people who clashed in Charlottesville this week, the hatred, the venom, God, it's heartbreaking to us. How much more must it be heartbreaking to You? And that's just in our country. We don't see the things that happen in other nations around the world. But as we already prayed this morning, Lord, You warned us in Matthew 24 there would be days like this. You warned us, God, and You asked us as Christians to be aware and not to let ourselves be deceived that there will be a day when these things are coming and they're going to be hard, they're going to be harsh. But You called us to be aware so that we might be salt and light. Help us this week, Lord, not to be judgmental, but to be loving. Not to make wrong judgments, but to make right ones. Not to judge people by their culture or ethnicity, by their language or skin color, by their dress, by their manner. But instead, Lord, give us Your heart for people that we might love like You loved. That we might have compassion like You have compassion. That we wouldn't join the crowd and laugh at others and mock others and be against others. Instead, Lord, that we would have Your heart for each individual. That those people might see that there's a difference in the people of God. There's a kingdom that's different than the kingdoms of this world. It's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, created by His shed blood and moving forward in power of the Holy Spirit. Break this in us, God. Break it, I pray, in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let's respond to this word this morning. If you hear saying, the Lord has touched my heart this morning because I have been judgmental. I have prejudice in my heart. I have that inside me that I realize now is wrong. How can I really serve God when I've got this plank sticking out of my eye? Prejudice, of judgmentalism. And it's not hard to do in our community where there's so many different people groups that are different than us. And it's very easy to talk about those people. There's no such thing as those people to God. To God, all there is my people. If you're here this morning and needing prayer, the Lord has touched your heart, just slip up a hand. This is your acknowledgement to God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not really even counting or looking. This is your acknowledgement. Thank you. You can put it down. Others, join these. Yeah. Put it down. Yeah. We can be different, church. We can be different. Maybe those this morning that have never been in a service like this, or you've never heard this kind of thing, let me tell you, what makes the difference is the love of Jesus Christ. Governments can't create this kind of thing. Laws can't create this kind of thing. There's only one that can change a heart to have grace and love for people, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Why not now? Why not become a person of love instead of a person of judgment? If you'd like to say today, I don't know how it all works, but something's tugging at my heart, and I want to make a step toward the Lord Jesus. If that's you today, would you slip up a hand? I'll pray with you too. Anybody here this morning? I want to live for Jesus. I want to live a life of love, not judgmentalism. All right, let's pray this prayer collectively, shall we? Lord Jesus, I know that you love all people, that you died for all people, and that I need to have your heart. Help me to love people like you do. Forgive me of my wrong judgments. Help me, Lord, to love others like you do. To not view people as those people, but to view them as you do, as my people. Help me, Father, to be a person of grace and truth, so that I might please you, and so that people can see you in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. God is good, amen? Let's sing together that chorus. Set a fire down in my soul. Let's ask the Holy Spirit just to fill us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino, California.